Well, let's pick up here. I was sharing a few things from my heart, and we'll continue to do so. But as we do, let's open to John chapter 3, and let's look at verse 16, John 3:16. And we read this because it's a foundational scripture, gives the heart of God concerning his son and purpose of sending his son. And the more we hear it, it changes us. For God so loved the world, let's read it together, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not in the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. I wanted to look at this particular scripture before we're started, but add to the scriptures we've been looking at. Proverbs chapter 3, in a familiar scripture verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. And as you're turning there, I'm going to read a scripture that's very familiar in Proverbs 20. It talks about the spirit of man, who is at the spirit of man, is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And some of the modern translations, I like this. This is the New International Version. It says, the lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of man. I like that. The lamp of the Lord. Well, when you start talking about the lamp of the Lord, the searchlight, we're really talking about the spirit of God. The lamp of the Lord, the spirit of God, searches the spirit of man. The New Living Translation says, the Lord's searchlight penetrates the human spirit. I like that. There's a, and we'll read this scripture in a moment after we read Proverbs 3. And Romans chapter 9, it talks about my conscience bearing me witness by the Spirit of God. So there's a co-witness, meaning your spirit man will lead you, will bear witness inside of you. But the Holy Spirit who lives in you is a co-witness. What does that mean? A witness. Somebody who says, such and such, this is what happened. And then there's a co-witness who says, I agree. So you should know there should be another witness. If I'm going in this direction, and I say, I think I ought to go this way, there should be another co-witness that says, I agree. That's the right way to go. Or that should be, no, don't go that way. See, isn't that a wonderful thought that I can be going down the wrong road and there's another witness inside of me, the Holy Spirit, that says, no, 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 don't go that way. That's the wrong way. That's the wrong choice. As they used to say in The Price is Right, wrong door. That's the wrong door. Don't choose that door. See, when you think about this, the devil doesn't have the power or the right to make you make the wrong choice. But he will set up doors for you to walk through, and so you just need to choose wisely. Choose wisely. So don't pick that door, because if you don't pick the door, you won't fall for the trap. See, and all he's doing is setting up traps in our life and say, you need to go this way, go this way, go this way, go this way. And we're going, the Holy Ghost says, don't go that way. Don't do that. Or, yes, that's right. That's a good way. So we don't have to fail like the world. See, the world doesn't, they have, anybody who's in this human body has a spirit. Every person that comes into this earth is made in the image and likeness of God, but their spirit is darkened. So they're bumping around by what they can see, taste, touch, smell. We've got our spirit lit by God. It's brand new. It's changed. So I have an advantage that as I'm going around in this earth, I have someone who leads me and guides me. So I don't have to make those mistakes. But it needs to be developed. Your spirit needs to be developed just like your muscles. You got to develop them. And so when we get prompts, we need to follow them. Don't ignore them. And we'll talk a moment about a little bit as to why we miss it. Anybody get to Proverbs 3? Verse 5. What does it say? Trust in who? Well, that's key right there, isn't it? Trust in the Lord. And what else? With all thine heart. And that to me, that little bit right there is key. You don't read over that and just say, yeah, I know that scripture. But we're to trust in the Lord. And a lot of times, and I include myself in this, we can get busy and we can trust in our schedule. I got to do this. And we're zooming. And we're missing his leading because we're busy. I got to get here. How many people have said, I got a plane ticket, I got to get on the plane. But all the while, the Holy Spirit is saying, don't get on that flight. But we're looking, I got to make the flight. I got to get there, ba-ba-bum. And we're zooming, pushing other people out of the way, get my seat, I got to get on the plane. Or whatever that is, I'm using that as an example. But sometimes we miss these little nudges that the Spirit of God gives us. So we need to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It's the heart. We're not trusting with our mind. We're trusting with our heart. And that's why it's important, one of the lessons I was sharing, of keeping your heart clear. Because when it's cluttered up with things, when it's cluttered, then it's not clear and you can't hear clearly. And you can get cluttered with a lot of things. You can get cluttered with busyness. You can get cluttered with unforgiveness. You can get cluttered with a number of things. So we, with all thine heart, and do what? Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, I like this, in all thy ways, not some of them, all thy ways. And that doesn't mean, well, I just bring the hard things to God, but the ones I know, I got it figured out, I don't need to bring those. Why? Because I know. Really? You know? I don't think so. Because here's what happens. When we make choices, when it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, that means that I'm going to him, acknowledging him, looking for his direction. I'm not just giving a mouth service, and I got this, I know how to do this. And a lot of times that's what we do. We intellectual, analytical, I've done this before, I know how to do this. See, here's what happens with folks. One plus one, and they'll say it equals five. See? Or if it's one plus one, they know it equals two, and so they don't ask for help because they know what the answer is. See? They already know. I know this. You don't need to tell me for direction. But you don't know when you make that choice. You know everything you know up to that point. You don't know about tomorrow. You don't know about that. So your choice, so often, I'm becoming purposeful to listen. It was 2 years ago, where we're in the process of doing some sound system upgrades in New York over the next 3 weeks. And I was out at Rhema Bible Training Center, and they were doing a technology worship kind of a seminar about 2 years ago. They did it 2 years in a row. And so I met a company out there, and immediately when I met them, I just said, feels right. This feels right. And so I just kind of put it on the shelf. It wasn't time. Interacted with them, met them again the next year. Just felt right. But I had a hesitation to move forward. So I just sat on it. So this year, back and forth, they've been saying, hey, you know, you doing anything? I said, yeah, but not now. And then I said to the owner, I said, look, we're not staying in that building. God has already prophesied. You're leaving this building. It's going to be sold. We don't know when. I'm not putting a lot of money into upgrades. I'm not going to upgrade a sound system that we're not going to stay here. And to do it, that sound system is 25 years old. To do it properly, you're talking about a lot of money. You got to replace the speakers and everything. Wiring and lights, and it's a big ticket. So I said, no. So we went back and forth, and he came here last summer, and we talked, and he said, well, you know, you could do this, and it's not a lot of money. And I thought, it's a good idea. But I still had a hesitation, and I didn't know why. It didn't make any natural sense because we needed the work. But what happened was, that was last summer, 2013. Pastor Jesse and the band started coming in September. And I still had a little bit of a hesitation, just hold up. And so what ended up happening is the other band members came, and so we began to experience some of the things that need to be corrected in the sound system. But I still had a hesitation. So I get a little email from one of the persons that came out, said, hey, we got some great news. The whole core of that company left and started another company. I went, really? Interesting. And so the other partner left, and the core of that company left, just got up and left, and told this other partner the day before he was getting married. And I said, really? I said, okay. And he was trying to pull on me to go with their company, this new company. And I said, well, we'll see. So I say all that to say that I would have rather have been have all of this cloud of this out of the way and be able to pray about who am I doing business with. So I'm going to go, we're going to do business with the original company, not the ones that left and started this new company. Not comfortable. I don't know why. In the natural, I could tell you why, but just not comfortable. So you need to be led when you make choices. And this wasn't something that we just decided to do, boom. It was something that we just sat on for a while and watched. And it feels right. When I say feel right, we can go through the scripture, but not today. It seemed right. That's what Paul talked about, and you can look up that term in the book of Acts. It seemed right to do. But we're seeing here in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. Doesn't say don't use it. God gave you a brain, use it. It just says don't lean to it. That means don't depend on what you know. Look to him. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall, I like this, he shall direct your path. It doesn't say he might, it says he shall. That means he shall direct all. If I go to him in all, if I in all my ways acknowledge him, that means in all my paths he's leading me. Doesn't it? It's implied. Every path I take, every choice I make, if I acknowledge him, he'll direct me. That means to me that I have the potential as I grow and develop to never miss it. Never. And you go, that doesn't seem right. Yeah, it does. Because the Holy Spirit knows everything about everything, and I don't. He knows everything about cooking. He knows everything about shopping. He knows everything about how to have a good marriage. He knows everything about how to raise your children. He knows everything on how to be a good employee. He knows everything about everything. But most times, we don't acknowledge him in all our ways because we just don't. Or we override the prompts. We get a thought, do this, and we go, I ain't doing that. I'm not doing that. So you're not open to listen, you see. And how do I know I've been there? Well, we've all been there. We've all gotten over in the flesh and just either knew it and ignored it, but or didn't recognize because we were just too caught up in what we were thinking about at the time. Proverbs 3, continuing, this is in the Complete English Bible. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own intelligence. See, sometimes the English, the modern English translations are more, they just say it the way we can understand it better. Good News Translation says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Boy, I'll tell you, that says it right there. Never rely on what you think you know. Yep. Been there. Yeah, I know that. And no, you don't. You don't know. And so we know in Romans, I'll read this here, Romans 10:10, it says, for with the heart, man believeth. Where do you believe from? Your heart, not your head. He communicates to your heart. His word is what is deposited in your heart. It's the area where growth takes place. It's the area where enlightenment takes place. He speaks to us and where we believe. Faith is of the heart. So where in the heart man believeth, and so from that area, we have to trust him. That's my point, that you're trusting him from your heart. And so you might ask the question, well, how do I know, and I know we've gone over this before, but how do I know that it's the Spirit of God speaking and directing? I've learned through just experience, I know you have also, but in this particular chapter that we're in Proverbs 3, if you look at verse 17, it talks about wisdom. And it says in verse 16, length of days is in her right hand and in her left hand riches and honor. Look at verse 17. Her ways, talking about wisdom, are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So, when you're about to make choices, if you don't have peace about something, it's a good barometer. You should probably just hold up. You should probably just wait, ask some more questions. As they say, sit on it. If you don't have peace about something, and let me tell you something, you are a spirit, and you will know what I'm talking about, because you'll know. You'll know, the heart knows when there's something that's unsettling in the heart. It's like a person who says, I like that person. How did you know? How did you know? Person says, I love that person. How did you know? There's peace. There's peace in the heart, in the spirit. But how many have said, I feel uncomfortable around that person? How many have ever experienced that? You get around a person, you feel uncomfortable. Where are you uncomfortable? In your head? No. You're uncomfortable inside, in the core of your being, in your spirit. You feel uncomfortable. You're unsettled. You don't have peace. Use that as an experience so that when you go to make choices, do I have peace about this choice that I'm making? If I don't, stop, ask some more questions. Hold up. If you have peace, move on it. It's interesting, the more you look to the inside, the more you'll recognize these things. You'll recognize inner peace. You'll recognize an unsettledness. Sometimes you could be having a discussion with a coworker, with a husband or wife. You can be having something, and it can be a discussion that could get into something that's a little more tense. And sometimes someone may say something to the other person. Here's the question. What the other individual said to you, did it offend your flesh? Or did it bear witness down here, but your mind is saying, say that to me. But what did your heart say? If your heart said, you know what, they're right, then that means shut your mind off and say, you know what, thank you, you're right. Because what they said was truth. And your spirit bore witness with it, but your mind may say, saying that to me. I'm the man. Oh, really? You're a dumb. You need to listen to the Spirit of God and bear witness to what was said. And I'm saying that could be the same thing, a husband saying something to the wife. Or it could be any situation. But listen to the things that are said. How does that register here? If it gives you peace, it's truth. If it doesn't, then you know what? You have a choice to do with that which is said. In other words, you can just say, well, thank you, and not discuss it any further, or you can just leave it and put it on the shelf because you know that may be causing something else. But the point here is that all the paths of wisdom are peace. And so as we're being led by His Spirit, these are key things that we can recognize in our walk. Sometimes we ignore them and we get over into analytical thinking and this and that, and we're ignoring what's registering down here. Become, as Brother Hagin used to say when he was alive, he said it in a simple way, become more God inside minded. Become more spiritual minded. Isn't that true? See? So that we can recognize this inward witness that we have. We don't have to miss it. Our homes should be like heaven on earth. And they can be if we yield to Him. There don't have to be shouting and screaming at home. There doesn't have to be tense words spoken between each other. Doesn't have to be. But we have to recognize that if we're going to create that atmosphere, then we have to do what? In all my ways, acknowledge him. We have to, even as they say, at home, boots on the ground, where we live. You're going to have to acknowledge him in all your ways. That means you're going to have to get up in the morning. You're going to have to say, Lord, direct my paths today. Show me what to do. Show me what to say. And when I feel like saying something that isn't too nice, we need to just hold up and say, am I supposed to, I shouldn't be doing this. Shouldn't be saying this. And this is a growth thing. See, this is what I like. I may have acted foolish yesterday about something, but his mercies are new every day. I can just say, you know what? Sorry, Lord, I missed it yesterday. I'm going to do better today. I'm going to look to you. I missed it, and I'm going to grow. And we need to spend more time here, renewing our minds to be more spiritually minded and praying in the Holy Spirit. Spending time being quiet so we can hear his voice, you see. So we need to acknowledge him. We're going to believe in our heart. So we're not led, how I want to say this, we've been back on this, and I may be backtracking, going through some things, but how many know you don't hear it the first time? I don't hear it the first time, and I keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it, and the Lord reveals and unfolds something to my thinking, to my mind, said, wow, I didn't see that the last time. I didn't hear it that way the last time. And so as we're being directed, as we're following him, we're not led. Well, let's say it this way. Let's go over to Romans 8. So we're going to look at these scriptures now. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verses 14, 15, and 16. Romans chapter 8, and verses 14, 15, and 16. And it says, for as many as are led, how? By the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to do what? To fear. So fear is bondage. And but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit, and the modern translations will say himself, because he is a him, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So we're led, as it says here, he bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. So he's going to lead us through our spirit, bear witness with our spirit, in the choices that we have to make. So we are not led, and I'm going to lead into another point we can see in Scripture, but we're not led by money. We're not led by opportunities. We're not led by our emotions. So I can get an opportunity that looks great in the natural, and I may be ready to walk and take that opportunity, but what am I supposed to do? In all my ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, because an opportunity can look great, but you don't know everything. You know it looks good up to today, but you could go and walk through that door, leave your job, and then maybe that other job might fold up in 6 months. You don't know that, or a year. You may have an opportunity where maybe the Lord leads you to go in this particular direction and the door is closed. And a lot of people will say, well, that door is closed. I guess that ain't for me. How do you know that? If the Lord led you in that direction, that's why you can't be led by an opportunity or the lack of an opportunity, if he leads you, then you go that way and you're going through the door. Because that's the way he led you. That's the direction he's leading you. So we're not led by opportunities or the lack of opportunities. We're not led by money. A lot of people will take a big increase and sell their home, replant their whole family, leave their church and go somewhere, not even thinking about any of all of that. Well, they may consider their family, but they don't consider the spiritual side of their development, where they're supposed to be planted. And they'll just leave because of the money, the opportunity. And God has a destiny for every person. And that's why it's important to be led by the Spirit of God, because he knows who are the people in your life that are necessary for the development of it and to fulfill that in your life. So sometimes moving to another city may be right, but it may not be right, because maybe what you need to fulfill what God has purposed in your life is right there. And you jump out and leave. And a lot of times you'd have heard Brother Hagin say this, that Jesus said, a lot of people never fulfill the destiny in their life because they don't listen. They just zoom, they're off running, and they don't even ask him. And that's part of that. And the same thing. Who are we supposed to be friends with? Who is supposed to be the people that I interact with? It's not that people are bad people, but maybe that group of people you're hanging with are not the right people to be around you to put into you for the destiny that God has for you. See, for the longest time, I used to ask these questions, why am I taking this path? It seems like a strange path. And whenever I'd want to, I'd say, no, stay right here. Stay right here. And it always seemed unusual for me. But now that I'm in this role, I'm going, okay, I understand now. I understand more clearly why I had to take that particular path, not run with a certain people, not be in and around and fellowshipping with certain people, wonderful people, not for my destiny. I needed to be around certain people that would impart things into me for what I would be standing in today. You see, so a lot of times we're just going and not even asking, thinking about the path and the circles of people that we should be with. We just want to be with everybody. Not so for your life. See, when we make mistakes, you can do anything, honey. You can be what you want. No, you can't. Because God has ordained a path and a place for everybody. And if you get that, then you'll walk in the blessings and the graces of God. And sometimes we won't have to struggle through life because we're going to follow his path. Amen? So we're following his witness and bearing witness. Let's jump back to John just for a moment. And you can see here, even in the life of Jesus, John chapter 3, we were there a moment ago, but if you look at this account in its entirety, if you look at the beginning of John chapter 3 and look at verse 2, we're talking about Jesus and his ministry. Was he led, or let's put it this way, how was Jesus led? How was Jesus led? Was he led by opportunities? Was he led by people? So how was he led? Was he led? Do you think he might have been led by the Spirit of God? I think he was. So if you look at verse 2, it's talking about Nicodemus. In verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So who was he running with? He was running with the Pharisees, right? That group that didn't look too kindly on Jesus. But he had a different heart, didn't he? He had a different heart. The same, he's talking about Nicodemus, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God. Well, that's interesting. They sure weren't saying that. The Pharisees, they said he was of the devil. So here he said, we know thou art of God, a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. See, so he's looking for some, he's looking something, he's posing a question and he's looking for an answer from Jesus, isn't he? Look at verse 3. What was Jesus' response? Did he answer his question? No, he didn't even answer his question. He ignored his question, right? He didn't respond the way Nicodemus thought he would. He said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he didn't even answer. He answered him another way. He started to give him an answer to something he didn't even know about. Something that was to come, but something that Nicodemus didn't even know about. See, he had a different heart than the Pharisees. See, and so the same thing. When we're led by the Spirit of God, are we led by people's questions? Or are we led by the Spirit of God? Because we can be led by questions, we can be led by people, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't answer questions. I'm not here to say that, because you might be in a profession where you have to. You're paid to do a job, you have to answer a question. But you need to be listening as to how to answer that question. Because the person answering it, or the person asking it, you may answer them and go, and in a way they go, where did you get that from? What? So we need to listen as to how to answer. And sometimes, I'll say it this way, we've become so trained, I don't want to go as far as saying carnally or worldly minded, but sometimes we do what the world does. Give me your question, I'll respond based on what I know. Is that not true? What do doctors do? How does it feel? Tell me how it feels, and I'll answer you based on how you feel. Doctors do it all the time. People do it. Counselors do it. How? We'll probe and ask a lot of questions, and I'll respond. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus responded by the Spirit of God. And so it's not that we shouldn't answer questions, but we should think about how we're approaching something. And it says, in all my ways I will acknowledge him, and he shall direct my path. He'll direct me as to how to answer a question. If I acknowledge him, if I acknowledge that I don't know enough on how to handle this, and I'll yield to him. See? And we can get there. It takes, what do we say at the beginning? It takes development. It takes training first to listen. First to go to him and acknowledge, Lord, help me in this area. And let me give you a couple of areas where we'll close here. A couple of areas, a couple of things that can get in the way of following his spirit. I guess I'll say it that way. One where we talked about at the beginning, we can be underdeveloped in a particular area, in this area. Underdeveloped in following him, recognizing him. We can be underdeveloped, just like our faith. Our faith has to be developed. You can't move something with faith that's underdeveloped. I might be able to believe for this, but now I have to believe for this. If I'm not developed in that area, I might have a problem there. See? So it's the same area where we need to be developed in our spirit as to hearing him, hearing his voice accurately. If it's underdeveloped in that area, we may miss it, you see. We can override his leading with just exactly what we said in Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. You can override his leading with reasoning. You can reason and say, yeah, but it just seems right. This just should go this way. But all the while, you're uncomfortable. But you're looking at it saying, and given an, you know, you're analyzing, you're reasoning out why I should make this choice. It is just the right choice. But inside, you're overriding this internal, inside your spirit. You have an unsettledness, a check, doesn't feel right, but you're reasoning it away. So you can override that, his leading with reasoning. You can be too busy to get quiet. We can have so much going on. We're so busy, we've got our day jam-packed from early in the morning to late at night, and we're busy, 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 and we're not quiet enough to really hear him. Not quiet enough. Another way we can miss it is we know it's God's way, but I want my way. My way or God's way? See? Is it God's way or my way? And I can choose to do it either way, but whose way am I following? Another way is timing. Another way that we can miss being led is there's a time and a season for things, and we can know, God could reveal that this is his will, but there's a timing with it. And sometimes we can charge ahead to do something and get out of sync with God's timing. We can get ahead of something, and then all of a sudden folks are saying, ah, that wasn't the Spirit of God, or this wasn't God. And it was, but the timing was off. Timing was off. One thing that I experienced along with Pastor Sarah and Clinton when they were overseeing was that a lot of young men and women came to the ministry early on in its infancy that knew they had a call upon their life. They knew there was a grace, there was an anointing upon their life. Gifts of the Spirit would operate through them. They might have been good teachers. They might have been good, when I say good teachers, there was an anointing upon them to teach. There was a grace upon them, but it needed to be developed. And a lot of them were like itchy and like, well, I want you to lay hands on me now. I'm going out, boom, 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 boom. There's a timing where that's concerned, and an individual needs to be developed in spiritual matters. And sometimes folks just can't wait. There's a timing with things. And sometimes folks get out ahead of God, and it could have been in a situation where folks leave and they want to start a ministry, It's not that God's hand wasn't upon them, not that God's grace and anointing wasn't there, but they get out ahead. It's like people who get married too soon, they walk through some rough waters that they didn't have to if they just waited. You see? Same thing in ministry. Some things that get in the way, we talked about clutter, is letting go of the past. Letting go of past things, it can clutter or cloud his leading. He may lead you to do something and you've held holding on to something and you're like, and you just bristle, I'm not doing that. But he may be leading you to do something in an area that you're still holding on to. You see, it could be bitterness, it could be just something, whatever it is, you're holding on to something. And it can get in the way of him leading, you see. There's a number of others, but I just throw those out for you to chew on. And the key is that we begin to recognize, identify, and as I've shared before, in this Christian walk, to me, there's three important things. You've got to walk in love. That's the first and key commandment. You've got to, faith works by love. We've got to operate in faith. The just shall live by faith. And we're led by the Spirit of God. So for me, I'll tell you, for me, this is me now. Doesn't say it in the Bible, but I put being led by the Spirit right up here at the top. Because you can't walk in love unless you acknowledge and let him direct your paths. So you can't even walk in love without his empowerment, his ability. You can't walk in faith without his empowerment and his ability and his leading. So for me, being led, acknowledging, yielding, for me is like priority-wise, is like being led by the Spirit of God, operating in love and walking in faith. Now, it may not be that, but it just, for me, maybe because of things I've experienced, things that I've missed and ignored prompts and just missed prompts. You know, recently I was sharing something recently here, I got busy and I started charging out of the office. I got behind because we were busy. It was a very crowded, busy day, a lot of stuff, is the best way I put it. Stuff that we didn't plan on, that kind of just visits your doorstep and you got to handle it. You know what I'm talking about? You didn't plan on it, it's just there. And you go, okay, we're going to work with this. Okay, so we were behind, and I was a little, it was a busy day, is all I'm going to say. And so I was scheduled to come up here. But I'm 5:15, and I'm like, whew, I got to go to the village. Okay, praise God. Let's get it going. And I had this, just a moment of, maybe I should not go. Then I said, nah, I'm going. I'm scheduled. I got to go. And I got in the car, and I came here. I missed the prompt. You know what I'm talking about? I missed the prompt. Because I said, talking about reasoning something away, I reasoned, well, I'm scheduled, I got to go up. So I drive up here, I felt fine. No problem. Driving home, I left here, we got out of here, it was a late evening. Got out, and was, by the time I got on the road, got a tea, and I got on the road, it was close to 11. I felt fine. Got down on 287, I'm fighting sleep. And I'm fighting it. Windows open, it's cold, just a little, and I'm 15, 20 minutes but I almost got in an accident and got killed. Bad news. Almost hit a car. Missed the prompt. You see? Because I reasoned I got to be somewhere. Now, it could be anything. It could be you getting on a plane. Could be, you know, we got to get to this appointment. It's, you know, we got this. We got to be there by 3 o'clock. So your reasoning is we got to get there. We can't be late. But meanwhile, inside, it's like, you know what? We should just hold up for 15 minutes. But we got to go. And you could be in the middle of something that you don't want to be in the middle of. And see, for me, this is where we can get busy during the day and we can reason away. Now, there was this, I'm beginning to recognize clearer. Yesterday, we were at a leadership meeting. We were having a discussion about some things, about a program we want to institute. And it started in a place, and it was seeming to get stuck. And down here, I'm like, this ain't it. This not it. And you're discussing. You've got 30 people, so you're discussing. And one comment was made about this topic, and it was like, yep, that's it. There it is. We were stuck reasoning, talking, but one comment, and it was, I said, yep, that's it. Yep, that's it. That's it. Because your spirit recognizes peace. So you feel a little tightness down here. You're like, you're talking out something. We'll all get in that. We're talking. You feel, I don't feel settled about this conversation. It's not that it's tense, but you're not coming to a feeling of peace, a settledness about the whole thing. And the minute somebody says, you go, yep, that's it. There it is. That's it. And it's like, everything starts. Because at that point, as a person in charge, you have to say, you know what? Something's not clicking here. We either put it on the shelf, let's hold it. You know, it's not that it's a bad idea, but you just, everything is not gelling. So what you have to decide at that point is, okay, maybe we'll just, let's not get stuck here. Let's just put that on the shelf. But one comment in this situation, it was like, boom, there it is. That changed this to kind of a different direction. Still, the idea is a good idea, but it was the way it was being approached. Needed a different approach. And so we can reason out something, same thing that I did. I reasoned out I needed to be somewhere because I don't know all the facts. He knew that 2 or 3 hours or 4 hours later, I'd be tired. And so there was this momentary, maybe I shouldn't go. And then I said, no, I got to go. Boop, mistake. See how quickly? Quick mistake. Right there. And that's what I'm talking about, getting so busy that we don't begin to recognize those things inside of us. And we can charge out and do something and just miss it. And what's happening is, the stakes are becoming more critical. The more you're used of God, the more valuable you are to God, the more dangerous you are, and the more that effect, negative effect you have on the kingdom of darkness. And the doors that we walk through, we want to make sure, no, don't go through that door. It's a trap. We don't see it as a trap, but it's a trap. And so what we have to do is become more sensitive because we've become someone who is having an impact on the kingdom of darkness. You see. He could say, get some exercise. And you go, man, I ain't got time for exercise. Stop eating that. I like that. Good. Then you're going to pay the price for it. See, that's what I'm talking about. Those are the little cues that we have that God is trying to prepare every one of us to be more valuable to him, but he knows everything about us, and he's trying to get us to make these little adjustments so that we can be further useful to him. Any of this making any sense? I'm just sharing, as they say, how they say, make it plain. As plain as you can. Amen.